addictive chemical. Vaping is not for minors. Must have valid ID.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
It's 12:15. This is News Radio 560 KPQ. Good afternoon. Monday afternoon, 12:15. That means The Agenda is here. And today, I ask you to consider this. You go to the doctor. Who's the first and the last person you talk to? The nurse. You call your doctor with a question about your medication or a reaction or a side effect. Who do you talk with? The nurse. You show up at a pediatrician after your toddler bangs your head on the table and is bleeding. So you call ahead. Who meets you at the car? The nurse. It's midnight in the hospital. You're in pain. Who do you call? You call the nurse. Time to take your first steps post-surgery. Ever done that? Oh, God. You just tell him, you got to be kidding. I'm not getting out of bed. Yes, you are, says the nurse. Time for a straight answer as to why you're feeling the way you feel after a procedure. Talk to the nurse. The nurse knows why. You want a job that you can take anywhere on the planet? I mean, if you become a nurse, you take your talent and your curiosity anywhere on Earth and find gainful employment. You write your own ticket to adventure and medical frontiers wherever you may roam, like Arkansas, Africa, Altoona, yeah, that's in Pennsylvania, Asia, Amsterdam, Alberta, Appomattox, Antarctica, and even Ann Arbor, Michigan. They all need nurses. You got a job. Are you an A student in chemistry and physiology and biology and all the other ologies? Yes? Well, then you can go on and become a nurse. No? Well, then we have a problem. You see, nursing programs consider B to be barely passing. It's an environment for top students only. No C students at all. None. Now, you're the A student, you become a nurse. Yes, you can become a nurse by simply training at Wenatchee Valley College. You didn't know about that? Ah, I'm glad you tuned in. The agenda, my guest is Dr. Kristen Hosey, and we're talking about becoming a nurse at Wenatchee Valley College. So welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Fine. You're a doctor of what?
I have a doctorate in nursing practice in community health nursing.
So you're a nurse who's a doctor?
Yeah, I'm a doctor nurse.
Are there a lot of those around?
Not too many. It's about, I think, 1% to 3%, I think, of nurses are doctorally prepared.
Becoming a nurse is not an easy process.
No.
I mean, becoming a doctor is not easy. So people just say, well, I don't have the brains to be a doctor. Right. I bet I can be a nurse. Nah, I don't think so.
It doesn't work very well for most people.
Well, they think nursing, what could it be? I'm learning how to bandage. I fix a broken leg. But you don't start there. You start with biology and everything else. Physiology.
Yep. Anatomy and physiology, microbiology, chemistry are the big sciences right before they get into the program.
And that's where it starts.
Yeah, before you're even accepted.
Now, you're not very lenient with grades. If you don't get if you get below a B,
yeah, you are out. Yeah, we don't want to see nurses out there.
When you mean you do want to see nurses, but you don't want a nurse about a C.
Yeah, correct.
Is it the hardest job in the hospital? Maybe the brain surgeon has a harder job, or maybe the orthopedic surgeon. But he can't do it without nurses, right?
Right. I think we make up the majority of the healthcare workforce globally, in a lot of countries that are outside of the U.S. It could be 70% to 90% of the healthcare providers are nurses.
What's a doctor assistant or whatever you get when you're seeing someone who's not a doctor but not really a nurse or maybe both?
There's maybe a physician's assistant we have those are around and some folks refer to them as mid-level providers. I don't usually refer to them that. I just refer to them as providers as well as nurse practitioners. So you can go on and become a nurse practitioner.
And that is what?
Usually you have to get a master's or a doctorate of nursing practice like I have, and you get that additional prescriptive ability to be a primary care provider.
I just want to emphasize that if you're thinking about becoming a nurse, the educational demands are harsh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're not an A student, chances are you won't be an A student in nursing, and that's a problem. Mm-hmm. In fact, what do you remember most about school when you were, of course, you all went all the way through and got your master's, so you have a lot of memories.
Yeah, it definitely my undergrad, getting my first nursing degree was the hardest. Just a lot of tests, and you couldn't get by with just cramming the night before. I had to actually learn how to study when I was in nursing school. They take it a step further to application or critical thinking level when you get your examinations for nursing, and that's also to prepare you for the licensure exam. So I just remember not a lot of sleep, a lot of taking care of patients and being nervous for those first 2 years, but learning so much.
There is so much to learn, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I bet you use it virtually every day that you're a nurse meeting with the public, and it's just one patient after another.
Yeah, the skills that you learn in nursing definitely can apply to both being in the hospital but also in the community setting. And that's actually why I shifted over to doing public and community health for a while, was being able to be out more in maybe doing like rescue work or disaster relief work out in the community. But it really, even the skills you learn for de-escalation are really helpful.
What is in the world is de-escalation?
Just like calming folks down. You know, you don't come to the hospital happy the best day of your life. It's usually not a great day to be in the hospital. And so having those additional skills and communication have helped me beyond the hospital setting.
It's funny. Well, it's not funny, but if you go to the doctor, what's the first thing they say to you? How are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if I was fine, I wouldn't be here, right?
Probably.
That's me. I'm Mr. Smarty Pants answer. And I think a well-trained RN would not say, how are you, but how can we help you today?
Yes.
What seems to be the problem?
Right.
And often you tell this person who maybe can take your blood pressure but is not really a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I telling her anything? Because she doesn't write anything down. I've noticed that. And the doctor comes in and says, what can I do for you today?
Yeah, so sometimes you repeat yourself 3 times because you haven't talked to the right person yet. Yeah, that happens.
But the person who's aiding a doctor is probably not a registered nurse, am I right?
It depends on where you're at. But typically that would be a medical assistant that would see you when you come in. And get your vitals and so forth at a lot of clinics and so forth.
So the nurses at our hospitals are doing predominantly what? I mean, it's a long list, but what are their duties?
Oh, everything. They're going to be the person that you're going to probably see most often when you are admitted to an hospital. Those and the nursing aides, and sometimes there's techs as well, that will be helping you out throughout the day. The nurse is the one that's typically going to be administering your medications throughout the day and making sure that you're stable and sitting up in bed and breathing and so forth. They're also that last person for if something is not going well, they're the ones that are going to be cued in to help you. So stop medications that are having a bad reaction or, even going as far as to advocating for you for the physician.
I know doctors see everything, and they read all the journals, and they try to stay up on everything, but the nurse has not just heard about everything. She has seen everything. Is that not true?
It's pretty good. It's a pretty accurate thing. Depending on which where you work and where you specialize, you will see a lot.
My wife was bitten by one of our cats.
Oh, no.
And he was just having an emotional day. Mm-hmm. Didn't mean anything by it, but the hand started to swell and get really bothersome. So she walked in, the nurse said, who bit you? My cat. She said, do you know the shape of cat's teeth is based on da-da-da, so that the person that they bite or their prey that they bite gets infected and dies.
Well, that would be an extreme reaction to a cat bite.
Oh, no. Apparently,
it's not uncommon.
If you let it go, you're in big trouble.
Yes.
But it wasn't the doctor who knew this. Mm-hmm. It was the nurse.
That's good to hear.
Who put her on the trail to antibiotics and healing. But that nearly got out of control, and infections are something that nurses see every day, that's something you have to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So tell me about the nurse program at Wenatchee Valley College. How is it different from any other? Why should people go here if they can be admitted somewhere else?
Sure. So we have two programs now. We have, for a while, we've had the Associate Degree of Nursing program, which is you do your prerequisites, and then you're admitted usually in June. Is the application process, And those prereqs, as I mentioned, are things like chemistry and microbiology, but there's also writing and other liberal arts courses. And then that's a two-year program, pretty intensive. Students are expected to be full-time. Classes are Monday, Wednesday, but then there's labs and clinicals. So that takes 2 years, so that would be getting you up to a third year. What we have added in the last 2 years is an RN to BSN program, which is a registered nurse to Bachelor of Science in Nursing program. So that adds that fourth year to get folks in the community up to the bachelor's level. And why that's important is the push nationally is to have nurses, 80% of nurses, be bachelor's prepared by next year. We're not there in our region.
How close are we? Are we even 60%?
No, in our region, the last report I saw, it was about 2 years ago, was about 26% of nurses in the region have a bachelor's degree. So we're almost the opposite of where we should be.
How did that happen? How did their education leave them without a bachelor's?
Right. So the closest bachelor's program, I want to say, is in Spokane or Yakima. And so just access to being able to go and get a fourth year is a challenge for this area. There are some online programs now, and with our program, it's a hybrid program, meaning that students come to campus for those in-person days once a month, and it works really well for working nurses. So that is hopefully will address the need for more bachelor's prepared nurses in the region.
So there's nurses out there who have been working, are working today, but they don't have a bachelor's.
Most, yeah,
and,
most.
And they have a deadline facing them.
It's not a, it's all of us have been pushing for, as when I say all of us, the profession has been pushing for nationally 80%. But the requirements are not quite there yet because we don't have the numbers to, if we say you can't work here without a bachelor's degree, we might not have anybody working in certain areas.
Wow. So these are not all registered nurses.
So the Bachelor of Science in Nursing, you have to, for our program, you have to be a registered nurse to get in.
So that's a tough entry right there.
Yes.
I once said that if you were a registered nurse, you could probably work anywhere in the world. Is that an exaggeration?
No. Actually, I've worked a lot of places internationally.
Oh, tell.
I lived in Malawi for 2 years, and that's in southern Africa.
You're a doctor nurse.
No, actually, it was before. It was as a bachelor's prepared nurse.
Wow.
Because, that bachelor's will open up so many doors, both locally and globally. So the minimum requirement was a bachelor's of science in nursing, which I had. And I did a lot of work in community health around HIV and cholera, and we had a lot of nutritional issues there. But I've also worked in India with leprosy patients, and then I've worked – that was a short term, about 6 weeks, and then I've worked in Kenya as well.
And all these countries have substandard medical services?
No, it's actually more of a shortage of nurses is more the area. So they have, I've worked with some exceptional nurses in those countries, but the kind of the same situation that we have here with less bachelor's degree nurses is the same overseas as well in a lot of those countries where the nurses, there's just not enough for the amount of patients they have. But in India, it was more of an exchange to learn more about how the systems were different. So that was less about filling a gap and more about collaborating on how to exchange information, how to transition clinics that were working on leprosy to also include other priority disease processes like diabetes.
What is the treatment for leprosy?
Oh, it's pretty straightforward. Leprosy is actually probably would have been cured by now if there wasn't – or eradicated.
Eliminated,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there wasn't – it's just so hard to get to people like because of stigma or other issues of just not reaching out to the healthcare system. But it is – I want to say it's a – I forget the name of the medication – offhand, I want to say it's an antibiotic. I'd have to Google it.
But that's what you used.
Yeah, more we were just addressing, so some of the disease process for it is loss of sensation around your feet. And then you can injure your foot and then not realize you injured it. And so then you get an infection because you have poor wound healing. And that actually parallels with diabetes. And so we were working on helping address some of those behavioral aspects, but also the infections that come. So a lot of the patients I saw, it was less about their taking their pills. It was more about managing their wounds from that as they were healing.
I don't have a lot of experience with foot wounds, but I did break my toe rather thoroughly. I crushed the hell out of it. Anyway, I found it interesting that the doctor who I went to was a good doctor. He never touched my big toe. He just said, we're going to let this thing heal. We're going to wrap it and everything. And he said, my number one fear should be infection of the foot. Because he says it happens so easily. People think, broken toe, well, let's fix the broken toe. No, don't touch the toe. Leave that alone. That's going to be fine. We have to make sure that you don't get infected. How come the foot is so open to infection?
That's a great question. It's so far away from the heart. So if you think of it that way, your body, you know, you have less sensation further out from your torso that you have, and your feet are particularly that way. That's why you get a lot of people that will go out somewhere really cold, and then they'll get frostbite on their extremities, like out to the end. And so if you have anything where you kind of have like a less sensation in that area, it tends to start being at the further out of your body. And generally it starts at your feet a lot of times. And so that just means that if you have an injury there, it takes a bit longer to heal than if you had it like on your shoulder or something. But the other issue is, of course, not knowing and then walking around on an injury and it getting infected. And feet are not the cleanest things either. So
not the cleanest of all the things.
Right. So that kind of adds to the infection.
That was one ugly toe for a while, I'll tell you that. In fact, the guy wanted to take my big toenail off, and I said, under no circumstance. He says, no, you didn't understand. It has to come off. So I let him shoot my foot full of whatever it was, painkiller. And it came off rather easily, actually.
Nice.
I got to watch, but it was so weird to see it come off. Anyway, that's my own medical routine. Our very special guest is Dr. Kristen Hosey. We're talking about the Bachelor of Nursing. Is that what it's called, the official word?
Bachelor of Science in Nursing.
Bachelor of Science in Nursing, because if you don't know your science, you're not going to become a nurse. We'll come back to talk more with Kristen about the program at Wenatchee Valley College right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're Linda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
This is News Radio 560 KPQ. I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Dr. Kristen Hosey. She's a doctor nurse, a doctor of nursing. There is such a thing, and she's one of them. And you can be one, too, but you have to go to Wenatchee Valley College for starters. What sort of student who's thinking about nursing, what sort of background should they have? And if they don't have that background, how are they going to make the nursing program anyway?
Sure. So to get into nursing, well, first, to get into the bachelor's program, you have to be an RN. So you have to be a registered nurse. The only exception we have is if you graduate from nursing school, say Wenatchee Valley College or Big Bend, from an associate's degree program in June, the same year that you're starting up the bachelor's, then we give you one quarter to complete what's called the NCLEX exam, which is your licensing exam to be a nurse. But if you want to get into nursing in general, the first thing I recommend for folks is to get some exposure in the healthcare setting, because I've been an educator for almost 11 years now, and the most heartbreaking thing is when we enroll a student in our program, and this is could be here in Wenatchee or anywhere, and then they get in the clinic setting and they decide this is not my thing because they haven't done it before. So the best way we recommend to kind of get your feet wet, I guess, is to become a nurse aide. And it's we offer classes at the college. I know some high schools offer them as well to get your training to become a certified nurse aide. And that will get your feet wet to say, yeah, I can do this. I can be a nurse. There are other ways as well. We've had students that have been medics or EMTs and so forth. But what I recommend is the nurse aide role, because you'll get to see what the nurse also does in that in the healthcare setting.
And the nurse really does everything and has to respond to virtually anything as well.
Yeah, the nurses is kind of, I like to think of the nurses like that point person for interprofessional collaboration. They usually are there the whole day or night, depending on when they work. And
if you don't like working nights, this is not the job for you. Right?
They could be there all day or all night, and they kind of are the person that is there with the patient most of the time, and they coordinate with the nurse aides or physician's assistants or PTs or OT, all these other healthcare providers throughout the day. So I, of course, am biased, so I'm like, yes, this is the best position to be in, but I don't want to downplay the role that other healthcare professionals play in treatment and care of patients, too.
What's the pecking order in the emergency room? Somebody comes in, and they're unconscious, and we have to save their life.
Oh, I don't know if I should speak to that, but I mean, the physicians
so the
and
nurse
the nurses.
So the nurse knows what to do, but she has to wait for the doctor?
No, I mean, the nurse will come in and do an assessment of the patient. I think that's a big piece is... The nurse has the training to come in and look at a patient and say, oh, we need to respond now, or, oh, we can, you know, wait. And that is a big role that if there was a disaster that the nurse plays. They're that person that helps with the triaging of patients.
So how do you determine that? Vital signs?
Well, when I've
been... obvious?
Yeah, when I've been in that situation before, and I haven't been in that situation in the U.S., but internationally I worked at a hospital in Kenya that was on one of the roads that were the worst for road traffic accidents in the country. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about road traffic accidents, Kenya is in the top 10 of, like, fatality rates and road traffic accidents in the world. It's, like, up there with India and so forth. And that's multifaceted because of just cars not being as good in other in their country, but also access to care. And so... When we would triage, it's very, couldn't really go into it too much right now, but there's usually like three or four levels depending on the system you work in, and you work in a team usually, so there'd be like providers and nurses kind of spread out to put their eyes on the patient, see where they're at, and then decide like what level of care they need.
If you ever watch those emergency shows on television, they're always starting a main line. What in the world is a main line?
A main line? I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
Well, don't they put something in the middle of the body to somehow get fluids into the body?
Oh, a central line maybe is what.
There you go.
When someone is injured, we usually do try to, like severely, start an IV of some sort, and that's an intravenous line. And then the central line is more, that's a pretty serious accident to be putting in a central line for a patient. But for both, it's really to be able to administer fluids. If you're bleeding, you need fluids back into your body. And it could also be for medications as well.
So the central line can bring fluids or medication or both.
Yes. The more dehydrated a person is, the harder it is to get that vein in. And could also be because they're bleeding that it's hard to get a vein in. So that's why you try to get those lines in right when you start working on the patient.
Is it tough sometime when someone just pulls in a car and they have someone in the back seat? You have no idea what this person is suffering from. How do you make your determination if you have someone who's maybe passed out or close to losing consciousness?
A lot of a verbal assessment is also helpful from the person driving the vehicle. That usually is also a good thing for, especially if somebody is unconscious, to try to get like, what happened? Did they eat something? Did they get hit by somebody? What's going on? In addition to putting your hands and your eyes on the person, when they come in.
Check those vital signs.
Yeah.
What sort of information do you get? Have you been an emergency nurse? You probably have.
I'm not actually. I'm a community, I'm the person that is called in when I work in rural hospital settings that is the start the IV person, but that usually means that people are in really big trouble when I'm called in. And as an educator, it's the same way. My background is in more infectious diseases, and so I am brought, I usually feel very comfortable working with things that people don't feel very comfortable with, like measles or cholera, some of these more tropical diseases.
You've never seen cholera here, or have you?
No, not in the U.S.
Never.
In the U.S., more around, I was brought in for when Zika became an issue as a consultant for that.
Whatever happened to that Zika virus?
It's still around, but it's been around, but it's not as, I would say, in the news as much.
No, measles certainly are.
Yes, measles are definitely, and they should be. That's a very infectious disease process. That can sit in a room for a couple hours after a person leaves, and you can become infected.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do nurses get measles a lot, or are they vaccinated against it? I assume they are.
I would say most healthcare providers know that the importance of vaccination, and they usually are vaccinated for these sort of things. Typically, if you go to certain universities or colleges for nursing school, it's a requirement. So it's very rare that we make those exceptions, but some folks that have autoimmune issues can be make those exceptions, but they would not be able to work with those patients.
Are you surprised by the measles outbreak, or are you pretty much understanding that there's no way to stop parents from the fear and loathing of measles vaccination?
So as a public health nurse, this is a very important area in my field for folks to become vaccinated. And so I just feel really sad that that is still an issue here in Washington. When I worked, I'm from the East Coast and I never saw it. And then when I worked internationally in these resource poor settings where people could not get vaccinated because there were no drugs, it was really heartbreaking to take care of babies with measles. Very heartbreaking. And so when I came back to the U.S. and I went to the University of Washington for my grad school, I started hearing about whooping cough outbreaks and so forth. And this was back in 2000, I think, 11, 12, 13. And I started working with the CDC on pulling cases and controls to see if we were seeing that our vaccines weren't working. And that wasn't the case. It was a lot of the time people were not getting vaccinated. And my heart breaks for these children because this is something that these diseases have basically been pushed out of the U.S. until now they're coming back. And it's just, to me, it just is heartbreaking to see the patients, the babies suffer with these diseases. And then also there's just misinformation about how folks think that it's correlated with autism, which it's not. At all.
And a lot of people also assume that it's also not a very serious disease, but it can be.
It's very serious. Yes, it can be very serious. Measles can mess with your autoimmune system. And it's just, they're so sad when you're taking care of the babies that have measles. They're just miserable babies. As you would be if you're covered.
In a red rash.
Yes, it's just a really sad thing. So everyone should get vaccinated. That's my plug.
That's doctor and nurse Kristen Hosey. She's my guest today. We're talking about the bachelor program at Wenatchee Valley College. We'll be back after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. And The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ. My special guest is Dr. Kristen Hosey. She's a doctor and a nurse together. Pretty potent combination, I would have to say. Dr. Hosey, what should we think about if we're going to become a nurse at Wenatchee Valley College? Let's start with the program. What do you have to have before you can even get in?
So to get in, you will need to take all your prerequisite courses. This could be English, sciences, and so forth. If you are curious about getting in, what those prerequisites are, you can check out our website, or you can contact me. I'm on the website, or our ed planner is Noah Fortner. To kind of just run through your transcripts and see what you have and what you need. You need everything, including humanities and math courses as well. just so that you're more rounded as a educated nurse. Then it's 2 years in the program, summer off. And then if you want to continue to get your fourth year, which is the RN to BSN program, that is now available at Wenatchee Valley College. The big, I think, pro for the RN to BSN program is that it is a hybrid program. So 80% of learning is online. And then there's also that awesome element of being able to meet with your classmates and your faculty in person instead of it being entirely online. And a lot of our graduates have really verbalized how important being able to have that network with your colleagues and that kind of coping mechanism for being back in school is for them to get work through the program. So those are our kind of like a general idea of our programs at the college.
There's something that it's very difficult to teach. Some doctors have it, some don't. Some nurses, most nurses, I think, probably have it by necessity, and maybe some don't, but that is the bedside manner. And, you know, a lot of people have referred to that over the centuries as what a doctor is responsible for, to comfort the patient. But many times that's left to the nurse. How do you come by a bedside manner that's efficient?
It's definitely, I think, some people have, just like anything else, some people are naturally able to collaborate and communicate with folks, and that includes patients. And some people need a little bit more training, and we do have actual labs and scenarios where we walk through like how to communicate with patients, but also how to communicate with other nurses and other providers, because it's a very stressful environment. People are getting sick. People are unhappy. Sometimes they do not make it. So it's a very hard job, and to not be able to communicate effectively can just make that work even harder. So I would say we do plug that in because there are some folks that need a little bit shoring up, but we hope that by the end of the program that they have at least got the foundation.
I always ask a question of the nurse that she cannot answer because of rules of the road. I'll pose the question. She'll say, doctor will be in shortly. You can discuss that with him. Mm-hmm. And I imagine a lot of nurses who know the prognosis for a patient probably keep it to themselves because it's up to the doctor, or it should be up to the doctor to communicate that. Is that right?
I think it sort of depends on where you're at, because nurse practitioners have nurse midwives have that higher, they're a provider level, so they can provide that sort of diagnosis.
The truth.
So, yeah. But as far as typically, yeah, we may know ahead of time what's going on. We may not know what's going on yet. We're waiting on information to come back from labs or so forth. A lot of times we have a feeling, but we don't want to say what we think because we're still waiting for more information. So it could be a pretty complex where they don't know, they think they know, but it's not really the position for them to say.
We could go on for hours. I want to talk about diagnostician specialists, but we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've called a few cases, too, at least in your mind, and said, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was right about that.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Kristen Hosey, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for being a nurse. We all need them, and we need them to be good ones.
Thank you.
Thanks, you. News Radio 560 KPQ. Port also making an appearance. On Wednesday, Paul Hughes, he's a pastor, but he used to be a cop, but he's a pastor now, so pull over and listen to this. Also, Greg Frisley from the Suicide Hope Outreach for 14 school assemblies coming up, and Greg will be my special guest on Wednesday. Thursday, it's Tax Tips with Sean Patton for the CPA and the tax expert at Cordell Nair. Maybe you've done your taxes, maybe you'd like to try it from the top one more time.